ladies and gentlemen, trees and non-binaries, to another very exciting episode of Fantastic Plays, the gaming podcast here on the Fantastic Universes Podcast Network, where we talk about our favourite things in the wider world of gaming, PC, console, tabletop, and everything in between. As usual, my good pal Connor is here to discuss card gaming goodness with me, and you're in for a treat here today, because the lovely people at Host WCG were very, very, very positive with our initial takes in the past two episodes, and after a successful launch event, we were able to go say hello and try out the game in its entirety. Sadly, not both of us. Connor, I'm certain that you've had a lot of good play in with your decks that you've received, so I think you're as excited as I am to welcome our special guest in just a hot second.
Yeah, I'm super excited to welcome our very special guest. I've been playing it with my friends, and tonight I'll be going down to my local store to introduce them to the game that is Host and see if they can start stocking it and doing local play events for the game.
That's exactly what a fresh new game like this can entail. I have a few ideas on some places I can promote it to here in the Big Smoke and big old London town, but the game would be nothing without the actual grand host himself. Host WCG creator Jamie Dello is on the show with us. Jamie, good morning, good afternoon. How are you today?
Hello, yes, I'm very good, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure, yeah.
Yeah, I'm very excited to talk about all things Host and beyond, so...
There's much to talk about with a new game that's got a lot of upward mobility and a lot of hope for it. But we'll go a little bit back to your gamer backstory, as it were, because that's something I at least like to do whenever we get someone new on the show. So I like to associate and involve myself with people who are capital G gamers. So where did your long and winding road in gaming begin, my good pal?
Well, if we're going to talk specifically in the board game and card game area, I would probably have to take it back to when I was about 10 or 11, picking up my first Yu-Gi-Oh! Decks from, if you remember, the old Argos catalog. Spotted those right at the back in the gaming section, and I'd seen the anime, I believe, one or two times on the telly, and it was hard to resist. My mum said no a couple of times, but eventually we managed to get ourselves down to the Argos and pick a couple of those up. And honestly, I just fell in love with card games from that moment. I've not stopped playing them since then. I went from Yu-Gi-Oh! To Magic after Magic, and there's a normal trajectory, I think, for most people. And then from Magic into almost any game that has been conceived or could be conceived, I have played at some point. So
I can definitely relate to that backstory, can't you, Connor?
Oh, very much so. That sounds exactly what happened with me from when I was a little kid, starting playing Yu-Gi-Oh! And then going to Magic and Vanguard, every card game I could get my hands on or saw from either the East or even here in the West, just picking them up and learning how to play them, because card games are just magical like that. They just draw you in and then sink their clutches into you.
That's very true. I think with my own background, like my own nerd background, being as strongly into DC Comics, Connor, you've met my father, the co-founder of this network, he's sort of put that level of storytelling love into me. And I would say that there's something about the comic book action feel in card games, because each game is unique, but the strong link of great artwork to great text really just brings the game alive differently every single time. So that's always been my appeal. And again, I've picked up every game under the sun, including brand new homegrown local, just fresh forays into the genre, including like Achroma, but created by some people down the coast, but most importantly, Host WCG. So, Amy, where did the first rumblings of this idea spring from?
Oh, that's a difficult one. I would say originally I had this idea probably in 2011, 2012. So a good 11, 12 years ago now. I had a gap year in between finishing my sixth form and going to university due to health reasons. And during that time, I thought I need something to focus on. I need something to take my mind off of, you know, everything that was going on. And this just kind of jumped out at me. I played several games back then already, and I thought, why not occupy myself for a couple of months or a year and just, you know, create the rules to my own game and mess around with it and things like that. Little did I know that 12 years later, I would still be working on it. And 12 years later, it would actually be released. But at the time, it was mostly just a little companion for me during my break and my time off, where I didn't really have anything else that I could focus on. So
I'm a firm believer that big things have small beginnings. Something that may have started off as a little passion project or as a little thing to keep your idle hands busy was all of a sudden the thing that brought some very unlikely people from across the country here today on a Discord call. What are your thoughts on this, Connor, my good pal?
Yeah, it's such a nice beginning, because all I can think of is like being a little kid and having a like an imaginary friend, someone to keep you occupied, and it just becoming real. And the ability to become so dedicated to one project that it eventually becomes realized is incredibly good. And like the ability to say today that my game has been released, my game is now here and been enjoyed and is a damn good game. You must feel really proud about that, shouldn't you? Surely, Jamie.
Yeah, I certainly do. As I said, until maybe 3 years ago, I didn't really even then have any plans of this necessarily seeing the light of day. It was always going to just be a little project I played around with my friends. But then I really thought, like, there's so much opportunity out there for games that want to focus on the players and on the community. And it feels like those games are disappearing. And that's when I decided, you know what, I'm going to try and take a leap and actually get this game out there and see what I can do. I'm very proud of what I've managed to achieve with this so far. And I wouldn't be here without a lot of other people and a lot of help along the way. So it wasn't just me, but yeah, I'm very proud of myself. So.
I think you should be, definitely. And I had the pleasure of meeting some of your other teammates and some of the other people that were involved in the creation of the game as a whole. I regret that I didn't quite catch any names, so do please give them their due either now or at like some point in the show, Jamie. But yeah, Connor, you'll love this, because I found out when I met Jamie and the entire team at the Elite Gaming Lounge out in Colville, that they actually had a listening party for our show, just so that they heard that, oh, hosts got been featured on a podcast, we've got to listen to this, and they all just sat around and listened to it together.
Oh my god, I love that. We were very pleasantly surprised when you reached out to us about listening to the podcast, and we were so excited. I can't repeat what my response was here.
Yeah, we tried to keep it a family friendly show.
Because trying to keep a family friendly show, and my excitement may have got the best of me, as this was something that, honestly, I will fully admit, I got by the Facebook targeted ad. It got me. It got me. It got me good. I don't regret it. I remember scrolling and seeing it and going, yep, you know what? This looks cool. I love the artwork. I love the idea behind it. And the gameplay looks solid. So I wanted to try it out. And I am very grateful that I did, because it has brought us all here together to allow us to talk about a great game, saying that this could become something great and truly potentially one of the mainstays of trading card, now WCGs going forward.
Yeah, I think it's that effort to try and like keep itself fresh in this wider market, because I've been doing some other press work with some other nerd news this weekend, so hearing about lots of independent projects feeling the need to create something unique in the wider market of whatever game they're trying to market for is very necessary. They have done a good thing. You guys have done a good thing here. So let's go back to that time frame many, many years ago when you needed that project between Spages and Education. How different now, roughly, is the game to when it was first dreamt up? Were there some huge scale changes, or were things still like most? Are the foundations still pretty similar?
Oh, this game has iterated. That's for sure. And I think that's kind of understandable to an extent, in such that back then I was very focused on the games that I was playing, and I drew inspiration from a lot of the games that I was playing at the time. and I maybe drew a little bit too much inspiration from the games that I was playing at the time. And I feel every change that was made made the game more unique and feel a little bit more along the lines of what I wanted the game to be originally. When I first started, I'd never done anything like this before. So when I went into it thinking, I want to make a game where people can feel like their choices really matter at every stage of the game, and where every game that they play is going to be very different, not just because the cards they happen to draw into their hand will be different, but more because every single avenue and pathway that they could take will lead them down a drastically different game state or a game route. And originally, I don't think the rules really reflected that as well as I would have liked. And each iteration that I've made to this game up until it got the proper rules that it has today, which I would say maybe came into effect about 5 years ago. And then I've been refining everything since then. I would say that every change made it for the better to reach that end goal that I had in mind.
Well, that's certainly very good. And like you said, if you had no prior experience to game design, taking good inspiration from the things that you are aware of is definitely a good place to start. And looking at it, I think there was a point right before we started rolling the initial episode kind of where we tried to compare all of the mechanics that like you were sort of inspired from, like ambushes being like traps in Yu-Gi-Oh, the damage zone being similar to very similar to Vanguard, being it being character centric like so many games like Flesh and Blood or My Hero or even the new One Piece, the mana system. But there's so much here that's brand new or so obscure that it might as well be new, that it's got an appeal for nearly every kind of gamer.
Yeah, I fully agree. One of my favorite things about it is the way damage is taken. Because typically in card games that use a card-based damage system, such as Final Fantasy, Vanguard, the Shield Breakers type of games, like the old Duel Masters, if you all remember that, they're typically taken from the top of the deck, not from the hand. And making the hand, we've all heard of like cards being resources within games and hand size being resources, but the ability to choose how your damage is taken, cutting off those cards for later, is very interesting to me in how you can filter through your hand of, okay, these cards are not good in this matchup. If I draw them, I can then place them into my damage, draw another card, potentially replace them for later. That, as well as the resource system and how resources are generated in this game, I think is very innovative within the card game sphere, and it's not something I've seen before in that kind of way, especially with the variety of resources you can gain throughout your turn using your action points. It's very different from how every other card game I've encountered that uses a kind of similar resource system does it. Typically they do it via cards or through spell effects. So just taking it as a action-based resource gaining system is very interesting to me.
Yeah, so I felt like especially with the action points and the resource system was something that took a while to really solidify, just because I feel like there are quite a lot of nuances where things could have become a little bit maybe overpowered or a little bit underpowered just based on how that works, being able to generate up to four per turn, for instance. It took a very long time to try to solidify that down and to get it to a point where I was happy with it. We've tried several different things. We tried only having three action points a turn. I think we actually all went all the way down to two action points a turn, and that was horrifically slow, and we were not happy with that at all. So fiddling around with the numbers on that one was a little bit challenging, but we're happy with the place that we ended on with that. Absolutely. And yeah, I think the different resource sections, again, the different resource types that you can generate in the game, we wanted people to be able to deck build very freely, but knowing that there was a little bit of a constraint or a difficulty with playing these other cards, just so that we didn't have best card 50 piles at every tournament.
I think that's always the struggle, especially for new enterprises. I'm sure Connor can enumerate like many examples of games where they just print very strong cards in very specific places, so that the first few tournaments are the same sorts of decks over and over again. And we can see that there's a good bit of variety there, but yeah, I think it's very hard to balance it out with that sort of level of numbers. So massaging the numbers to get the resources down was pretty well handled.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that, and I think I feel like there's already quite a lot of different avenues that you can take for deck building just with the character decks that are released. We're hoping to increase that even more when the first expansion comes out. We'll talk about that a little bit later. So we're very excited about the avenues that people can take for deck building, and all the feedback that we've gotten so far has been positive. Any feedback that is slightly negative, of course, we are also listening to as well, and we want to try and address those issues with the first expansion, because we want the first expansion to be when the game truly comes to life, and people can really put their own stamp on their deck and say, this is what I love to play, this is the style I love, and so we want everyone to be able to do that.
So we'll talk about card design and how it's gone from what it used to be for all these different iterations. In my fanaticism of trying to follow all the media outlets that Host has, I came across the old Host Twitter page, or X page, or whatever you wish to call that site now. And I read the original Host abilities, the original four that were announced, being Amethea, Meridius, Binky, under different names, of course, as well as The Painter.
Mm-hmm.
Why you gotta do Meridius like that?
Yeah, I know a lot of people felt like, from testing, if you read the old card to now, the old effect was certainly very unique. And don't expect that effect to disappear forever. Let's just put it like that. We wanted something that Meridius could tie more specifically into the dragon deck, rather than being this generic sort of host for the character deck. We wanted him to be a little bit more specific to what his deck was doing, because his deck is very focused and dragon centric. We wanted him to kind of represent that as well.
That's very understandable. The closer comparison, the original effect, which was the original effect was you would take a card from your damage zone, put it into your hand, and then take a card from your hand, put it into your damage zone.
Yeah,
it's very similar to how Angel Feather from Card Fight Vanguard plays, manipulating your damage zone to gain additional effects or recur different resource points and different card points. So that kind of effect really calls out to me, because I love that style of play. So knowing that little tidbit of it may come back, I'm very excited, because it's a difficult one to balance, damage manipulation.
Yeah, it's very similar to how Yellow plays in Digimon, which is quite interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things where you have to be careful, because if you accidentally just slightly overtune one aspect of it, say a heal kind of effect, it ends up becoming a massive downscale like cavalcade of just misery within the game sphere, and costing it efficiently, as well as potentially even constraining it to certain decks, is generally what ends up happening with it, just to prevent it from going, oh, everyone's just got like four copies of a heal card and there's no cost really.
Yeah, we're definitely staying away from making things a little bit too overpowered. I think one thing that we really want to, one thing with Host design especially, we want people to be able to sit at the table and they know that no matter what host they're going to be playing against, the host itself won't be giving any tangible advantage to the other player.
Yeah.
So we never want a host's effect to be one such that they can plus off of it in any sort of way, whether that be by resource gain or by hand gain.
Mm.
So all the hosts so far in the game, as you might have noticed, apart from Annabella, but she works slightly differently, they don't give you a tangible gain every turn, for instance, like what you might find in other card games, whereby the leader has its own ability that's just as powerful as any of the cards you could play in your hand. We want the host's ability to be very, very less powerful, but still have a slight recurring use in the deck that you're playing.
Yeah, they're there for utility almost.
Yes. Yeah, much more so.
The way I kind of view it is as a bit like facilitation. They are the blood that courses through the deck to help it keep running.
Yeah.
Such as like Amethea, how she constantly allows you to rearrange the top of your deck to keep that card flow and that card cost how you want it, rather than kind of praying that the top of your deck is what you want it to be.
Yeah, exactly. That's the sort of philosophy that we're taking in into the host design. So we're hoping that by sticking to that philosophy, we won't create a host in 6 months or a year that is just a flat out better version than any of the hosts we currently have. If none of them give you a tangible advantage over the other one, and instead just do something different, then it's much more about which one you want to build your deck around, rather than I have to play the best one.
Yeah, unfortunately that is definitely a trap a lot of card games accidentally fall down, where it's like, why would you want to play X character when the other one does something slightly different but just does what the other one wants to do but better?
Yeah, exactly.
We can count on the hosts to have unique and utility-based effects to sort of facilitate the decks. I think the mentality of the actual deck is what you win the game with. The host sort of enables the deck to play optimally. I think that's the way to look at it.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at that.
Yeah, I think one other big question I would sort of say is that it sounds like you're very clear on some design tenets that you guys want to stick with, namely one of them being that the hosts sort of have their own unique utility effect, but they're not their sort of like break open game states. You don't have to go into this if you don't want to. If they're secrets of design, then that's something you can keep hush and keep us players eager for. But are there other big sort of like cornerstones of design that you guys want to keep to going forward?
Not necessarily. All we want to try to do is allow people to be able to play each deck in a way that they enjoy. We want one very specific thing we do want is we don't want any card in the game to be necessarily superseded by another one, such that it becomes completely unplayable. We are aware that some cards will be better than others and some cards will be weaker than others. Just by the nature of how card games work, it is impossible to balance every single card against each other. That is a task that shouldn't even be attempted, but we want every card to at least fit a unique niche so that someone might really like that card and then they can build a deck around that card specifically. A lot of other card games fall into the trap of here's a 2/2 vanilla, like you're never going to play this card ever because here's a mythic rare that is a 2/2 and has an effect on it, whatever that effect is, immediately makes the card better than any sort of vanilla that you could print. So that's one thing we definitely want to stay away from, if we possibly can.
I'd say you've achieved that.
Yeah, very much so. And also, typically, those kinds of vanilla tutus are for a drafting experience, which this game feels like you can just pick up a character deck and that is your sealed experience.
Yes, that is something we're also very aware of. A couple of players have actually already asked us about whether we have any plans for drafting formats. The answer to that is no, because we feel like drafting formats should be handled by players. And if players want to create draft pools or cubes or any other sort of drafting format themselves, they can feel free to. We're not going to try to monetize it. We want players to be able to take control of that themselves. Maybe we might release an article or two that has some proposed cards you could put in for a balanced draft format. We're not going to monetize that ourselves. We feel like that is a bit of a disservice to players if they're already receiving every single card that exists through the expansions. We want them to be able to handle drafting, for instance, themselves and do alternate formats where they want to.
Very reasonable way to handle it. I think I think with the card pool as it is now, I think it'd probably be a bit too small to make a successful cube. But I think after maybe two or three expansions, because as you discussed when we met up, they're going to be coming out quarterly, hopefully, probably. So once there's a bit of a card pool there, there may be a way to sort of make a draft format. And I think that'll be sort of handled by players. And I think a good way to keep it fair would be every host that exists in the game should exist as a token. So it'd be like, all right, I've drafted this all these cards. Then someone loan me the Namathea players. And it just works out that way.
First, there was the DC Comics News podcast. Then came the Spinner Rack. And now, the third show brought to you by the guys that brought you all that other stuff I just mentioned. I Am the Night. A story about the stories. A show celebrating Batman, the animated series. Week by week, episode by episode. Just when you thought it was safe to put on a pair of headphones, I Am the Night.
Why, hello there. I'm Seth Singleton, and I'm here to tell you about Mad Pup, a Harley Quinn cast. 3, 2, 1.
Harley Quinn? Harley fucking Quinn? What have we learned from this crazy show?
Making bat shark repellent relevant since 1966.
Oh, look, Booger.
And we've gone completely off the rails.
I hear the bat signal.
Shut up and battle me, Nods.
I definitely do not fuck bats.
In need of an adult-sized nemesis.
Humans make good fertilizer.
You can't fuck with Lois Lane.
For fuck's sake.
I'm a damn good cop.
Lot of lasers.
Educational and informative. The DC Comics News Podcast Network presents Mad Love, the Harley Quinn cast. Back to you, Seth.
So, tell us your thoughts. We'd love to hear from everyone out there. Or not. That's really up to all of you. Fuckers.
Picture this, someone who knows nothing about comics.
Someone who knows comics from movies, TV, and video games.
A complete ultra comics nerd.
You pick the character you want us to talk about.
You send us the questions you want answered.
You make the show.
A podcast by fans.
For fans.
Making new fans.
Superheroes.
Or
dummies.
Part of the Comics in Motion podcast network.
In a world of stereotypes, being called a geek comes with a certain image.
There is still that ingrained thing within me that is a little bit embarrassed about it.
In reality, geek culture has never been more mainstream, and behind every geek is a real story.
My dad was the one who got me into Star Wars and things.
Join me, your super dummy Paul, as I continue my learning experience and talk to the real people.
I'm a secondary school teacher, so I teach 11 to 16-year-olds in English.
Hear their stories exclusively on Fantastic Universes.
He's one of them, like, you've ever going to grow up? And I'm like, no, why should I? I like my life. I enjoy what I do. This is my hobby.
Available on all your favourite podcast catchers.
Hi, my name's Steve, and I'm here to tell you all about the DC Comics News Podcast. Every week, my friends and I sit down and discuss everything DC. Movies, TV and streaming, comic books, and everything in between. But don't just take my word for it. Here are a couple of our sponsors.
Listen to the DC Comics News Podcast. It's audio justice.
No. It's audio chaos. These wackos are crazier than I am.
Well, maybe you're both right. Whatever the case, you can find the DC Comics News Podcast on every podcast platform.
Apple Podcasts.
Google Play.
Spotify.
Stitcher.
And everywhere else you find podcasts. So, can I go now?
Let him go. He did everything you asked.
Ha 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 ha
Hello, listeners. This is Tony Farina from DC Comics News and an occasional guest on Comics in Motion. I'm pleased to announce a new show called Indie Comics Spotlight. Each week, my guests and I will be taking a deep dive into a current title or a classic graphic novel from a publisher other than the big two. Consider this show the best of the rest. My hope is that we'll bring new readers to independent comics and give old readers a chance to share their thoughts. Join me each week in the Comics in Motion feed in your favorite podcast catcher.
Yes, so we talked a little bit about this at the Elite Gaming Lounge, but I want to reiterate this to my good pal Connor and to our wider listener base. So what is the future of Host going to be? Because right now, as you say, we've got these character decks, and there's a lot of decks you can build out of this 150 card card pool ish. So what are we hoping to see in the next coming weeks and months?
Yeah, so upcoming, we have one more character deck, as you guys alluded to on your podcast, the last podcast that I listened to. So we have the Everlasting Youth, or Binky. His character deck will be coming out relatively soon. We're looking for December for his character deck release. He will contain the last resource type. And if you want to continue to follow the website, you'll hopefully see more spoilers for him coming up very soon, and also on the Facebook page and the Instagram. And maybe I'll restart the Twitter as well after you guys found the Twitter page, the long dead Twitter page. Binky character deck is coming soon. Apart from that, we already have the first expansions cards ready. We are just finalizing playtesting with them to make sure there's nothing out there that is too obscene or too broken. And we are hoping for the first expansion set to release alongside the final character deck, which is Binky's character deck. And that is when we want the competitive season to start. So that will be roughly in December. We're aiming for December the 1st. You can never 100% say whether that's going to be the case or not. So that's what our aim is currently. If it takes a couple of extra weeks, so be it. But that's the current aim. And we're hoping that the first expansion set brings a lot of fun tools for people to mess around with.
That's something we can all definitely look forward to. We've got some insight, but that'll be something that will be released when the expansion comes forth. But as of right now, these three character decks make a great opening gate into what the game looks like. But then, with this first expansion, the fourth host, the fourth resource type, and lots of cards to go with Binky and all of the others, there's going to be a lot of stuff to be excited about.
Yeah, hopefully.
Very much so. I did actually have a question, if you don't mind potentially answering it, which is, so one of the things that really drew me into Host as well is the aspect of all money going back into the game, the non-profit side of it. And I love the price point for the character decks currently. I feel like they are actually very good value for their price. They're typically a little bit more than the average starter deck. However, they are also good quality, great artwork, good card stock, and a good bang for your buck. So the one question I actually want to ask is, do you have a rough price point currently for the expansion sets?
Yes. Each expansion set will be £15, the exact same as a character deck, and again that will contain four of every card that comes in it and one of every host that comes in it. And currently we are aiming for 12 unique cards and two hosts, which will make 14 cards in total, and it will bring it up to 50 cards in the expansion pack.
Well, that's very exciting.
It really is. I think the thing I sort of highlighted when I got to play the game in person was that, like we were saying a little bit earlier about like 2-2 for 2 vanillas in other card games, there's no room for that in Host. Every card is playable. Every card has utility in one deck or another. If it's not particularly useful here, you can slot it in somewhere else. I'm particularly very excited to try and build an Annabella aggressive deck that finally gets to use Ophelia just to clear out pesky blockers and to actually get in for damage.
Yep.
So yep. I can see why you didn't put that in the same character deck. That would have been stupid otherwise. But that level of playability means that every card needs to be rigorously tested and every card has used for one player or another. So there's no dead cards, no chaff, which again leads to my mind that the potential price point for these expansions could be higher. But it's not the case here. Every card is relevant. Every card has play and has validity. So we card gamers are so used to being a little bit jaded and a little bit cynical in terms of how much product gets released certain times and others. And the chase of opening the cards you need from packs will always get us a little bit. Like I know that I opened some packs of Crucible from this weekend, hoping for Tunic, but never lucky because it's a legendary. So knowing that everything you need will be in this one box of 50-ish cards approximately is just a breath of fresh air for the entire market.
Yeah, and I feel along those lines as well. We know people like opening booster packs, and we know that there's always a thrill in that sort of gamble and that sort of experience. So we actually have two things that I can say here now that we haven't actually released yet that will come alongside this. So firstly, a bit basic, because of the price point of our game, we want to make sure that people can still enjoy the other games that they want. So if they want to pull booster packs and other card games, hopefully our price point won't stop them from doing that. They can play our game alongside those other games and keep it at a reasonable price the whole way through. We think £15 for an expansion pack every 3 months hopefully will let people keep up with the card pool and let them continue to enjoy their other card game experiences, because we don't want to take those away from people. But secondly, with the first expansion will be coming some very particular foiling, and that will hopefully be randomized for each expansion. So each different expansion box that you buy, you will get four of every card and you will get one of every host, but you can also get a couple of foil cards in there but those will be fully randomized. And it's just, if people want to then collect a higher rarity version of each card, they can, but it's not something that we're going to push in card packs. It's purely expansions only.
Time to go full magpie.
Yep. Finding yeah, well,
we want people to have the option available if they do want to, because we've already had some people ask, are there going to be any collective version of these cards? Because we're really interested in buying into it, but we really like collecting extra versions of cards and special versions of cards. So we want to make sure that we can include as many different types of players and enjoyers of card games as possible, while not breaking the bank for people that just want to play at the min rarity and just enjoy the game as it is.
Yeah. I think there's also another thing that can really appeal to collectors as of right now. I'm not sure if you've noticed, Connor, but I'm sure Jamie can elaborate further about first edition.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the first edition cards, for every single expansion and character deck that is released, if it is the first wave that we print, will contain the first edition text at the bottom, and for every subsequent wave that is printed, will not contain that first edition text at the bottom. We're probably going to begin with limiting waves to 50 of each, and then purchasing another wave straight away, and that will be the second edition. So generally, we'll want to keep this at 50 of each expansion to begin with. We'll have the first edition text, and then any subsequent ones after that will not.
So at present, Connor, the character decks that we have and that are currently in circulation all say first edition, but the next print run will not. And the first few expansions coming December-ish will have that first edition text, and then we'll go on to be unlimited or have that part omitted or whatever the team at host want to decide to do with it. So we're sitting on some of the earliest and shiniest versions of these cards.
The fancy ones.
Very fancy, yes. Indeed. I do believe the next big thing I wanted to talk about was something that we were alluding to when we met up, Jamie. It was the when we met at the Elite Gaming Lounge in Colville, which if you're in the Leicester area, it is worth that long drive. It's a very tight-knit community, a very well-managed store, great place to game. I will certainly be back there soon, most likely for some host. The big tournament feel, and definitely bring in the people that want to optimize their decks and the people who love a specific host and just want to build around that. So what do you foresee happening with the competitive scene for hosts?
So to begin with, we want to just have as many stores as possible be able to run these events. We are looking for getting promo cards for people that stores that want to run our events. These will be special versions of cards that already exist. We will never ever print a promo card that can only be found as a promo card. They will only be other cards that already exist, just in a very slightly different version, maybe a different art, maybe a foiling or a signature from the artist, something along those lines. Hand those out as prizing to each of the stores, and they can get involved with hopefully stocking the product. They don't need to if they want to run our events. There's no pressure on them to stock the product. If they want to run the events, they could just run them completely outside of our product. But we want the stores to be able to enjoy that for a little bit to begin with. And then once we've built that up a little bit, we're going to hopefully be running a more competitive circuit at very specific stores where we will be running larger events with bigger prize pools, hopefully cash prizing based on the money that we get back from selling the product. Will be going into cash prizing at the circuit events, and people will be hopefully able to come along, enjoy themselves, have a good time, and earn some money off of the game.
Excellent.
And we can neither confirm nor deny, Connor, because I've heard this from our good pal Jamie here, that a certain pet favorite card of yours might be receiving that promo treatment.
Oh, really?
Yes. I think we can probably just straight out say that, yes, one of the promo cards that is coming is Life or Death. Nice. We heard that you have a particular love of that card, Connor, so we're very happy to be able to bring that to you.
I just absolutely adore the artwork on it, to be honest. It's just beautiful. I love how each of the decks seems to have a different kind of art style behind it, and the watercolors behind the character deck of Amethea is just, I don't know, it just speaks to me for some reason. And the Life or Death artwork is gorgeous, and the effect is also very powerful, and something I'm definitely going to be playing around with, especially once Binky comes out, as I feel like it has a lot of play within that kind of style of deck.
Very true.
Yeah, well, we're very excited that you are enjoying the game, and you're already looking to build a competitive deck with Binky in mind, with only 3 cards spoiled. You're well ahead of the game on that one, I think.
Yeah, the thing in the back of my mind is like, how long before I can just make form control?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
I'm looking forward to. And that's all I'm thinking of, and that's all I'm looking forward to.
Next time you come down to London, Connor, I guarantee you I can show you what control looks like in this game. I already have a very strong list for Amethea with a small splash of the Dragons package, but I also have what might be sort of like a tempo aggro deck with Annabella in mind. So that's the beauty of this game, is that the clear paths really reward intuitive high-level deck building, but the decks themselves still play strong right out of the box.
Oh, very much so, yeah. I'm looking forward to just Doomsday sacking people.
Yeah, that is definitely something you can do with the Dragons.
Dragon's Peak.
Yes, we've actually had quite a lot of feedback on Dragon's Peak so far. I think the number one feedback we've had on Dragon Peak so far is, I can't destroy this card. Don't worry. Soon, if you don't like Dragon's Peak or you're not a fan of Dragon's Peak, you will have ways that you can destroy Dragon's Peak. It will cost you a bit, but you can get there.
Yeah, so far, when I've played with my friends and I've played the Meridius deck, because I haven't done any actual deck building yet between the decks, I just call the upkeep effect of Dragon's Peak yodeling. And then when I go find a dragon, it's yodeling.
Yes,
oh, that's
very so good.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. Sure, these are Scandinavian dragons. Well, there's a lot of dragons in Northsmith. So that definitely works out. Really works out. So are there any big thoughts or questions you want to pose to our good pal, Jamie Connor? Because I think we're starting to get to a good spot here in our show.
Okay, let's take a quick gander into the recesses of my mind. Don't want to open that door, not that door either. So I'm a big combo player. I've always loved combo decks. What? I due to the way the game plays, I can very much expect never to see an infinite combo, a true one at least, like what we experience in Magic or even Yu-Gi-Oh and other card games.
Even high-level Pokemon.
High-level Pokemon sometimes, depending on the time period and format. But I don't expect to ever see anything like that. But I can see very much a lot of resource loop-styled decks. So I'm very interested to ask you if there would be something more straight-up combo-esque, like you pull together a certain set of cards and then it wins you the game. Or if that's something you want to try and stay away with within the design space that is host.
So I don't think it's something we necessarily want to shy away from. I think with the current pool of cards that exist, it is something that we wanted to shy away from. Because one thing that is very obvious about host with the current character decks, if you play it, is that aside from ambushes, there is almost no interaction in your opponent's turn.
Yeah.
So being able to sculpt the perfect hand and insta-winning on the spot in host currently would feel a little bit cheap, because your opponent, no matter what they actually can do, they don't really have a good way of interacting with that once you have the pieces and you just go. So effectively what we've decided to do is, at the moment, there isn't any combos that will instantly win you the game. I can tell you that in the first expansion pack, there are some cool little combos you can do that, while they don't instantly win you the game, they will put you in a commanding enough position that you will probably win the game. But I think that is something that you can get excited for, hopefully, for the first expansion pack as a combo player, because there is definitely a lot more combo potential when the first expansion pack actually does release.
I'll start apologizing to people for playing Solo 10 now.
Well, I can count on the design team and the rigorous testing done either in person with mock-up cards or through Tabletop Simulator. I can count on there being some level of interaction to this combo, and or fast vampires that can just run you over. That is my hope, at least.
Exactly. Yes. In fact, during this podcast, there is actually something I would like to share with both of you.
Ooh.
And that is, I would like to spoil a couple of the new keywords that are coming in the first expansion set.
You're hearing this first, dear listeners.
And this is the first time these are going to be spoiled. So this is a very exclusive thing for you guys. If you would like me to go through a couple of them, I will do that.
Whatever you're willing to share, we'll be very eager to.
We'd love that. Excellent. That's what I like to hear. So hopefully a couple of these will get you a bit excited about some of the cards and some of the new space that host will be going into in the future with some more card effects. So I'm just going to go over three of them today, three of the new ones. You will probably know a couple of them, so from other games, that's okay. I think that will hopefully make it a little bit easier to understand those. So the very first one we have is a classic of almost every card game that exists that has creatures, and that is First Strike will be entering host. So if you don't know First Strike, for any listeners out there that don't know, First Strike allows your entity to deal combat damage to its opponent before they are allowed to deal combat damage back, meaning that if you destroy their entity in battle, they will not be allowed to deal any combat damage back, because their entity will be destroyed before they would be able to actually hit you. So that's the first one that we have. The second one that we are going to be talking about is where, well, you guys already know that Storm exists currently in the game, where when an entity enters the field, it can attack any other entity. Well, Rush will be entering host in the first expansion pack, and any entity with Rush on the turn it is created from your hand can attack any target. So that's the second one that I would like to spoil with you today. And the third one that I would like to spoil with you today, which is much more focused on the emotion resource, is Impulse. Now, Impulse, if you've ever played Magic the Gathering, you might know what Flash is.
Ooh.
And Impulse effectively allows you to play your card at any time you would be able to use a fast effect, and a fast effect would be any time in the game where your opponent effectively takes an action, you will be able to play your card from your hand at that point.
Very exciting. Yes. Oh, now I'm excited. Oh, I'm very excited for Impulse. That level of like tricky interaction is something I love to do in as many games as I can.
Yeah, okay. I'm very glad to hear that. I will also be, after this podcast is finished, I will be sending you both a card from the first expansion as a little thank you, so you guys can spoil that.
Yes, that would be very excellent. I think what I can do is, once this episode is released, there will be some accompanying articles, one by myself, and I don't know, if you're getting an exclusive card, if you're able to write that up for fantasticuniverses.com, we can begin singing the good praises of host WCG. I think we have been talking about this delightful game for a fair length of time. Do you have any final closing thoughts, Connor, before we say goodbye to our dear listeners?
I think my closing thoughts for today shall be that this is going to be an exciting journey with an exciting game. I'm looking forward to what the game's going to be bringing. It's very clear that the creator and his team are very, very passionate about this. And it really shows within the game and within the community. So I'm so excited that we're on board of this train, and I can't wait to see where it goes.
Very much so. Well, Jamie, Dello, thank you very much for taking the time out to talk to us about posting about the game itself. Do let our dear listeners know where they can find and speak to you or learn more about host WCG for themselves.
Yeah, if you want to learn more about host, you can go to the website at host-wcg.co.uk. Sorry about the puppy in the background. on the website, you can find our Facebook and our Instagram. If you would like to follow those, feel free. It'll be a pleasure to have you guys on board. If you want to send a message to the Facebook page, feel free. I'm always looking at it, and I'm always ready to answer any responses that come on there as soon as I possibly can. Apart from that, I'd like to thank both of you guys for having me on. It has been a pleasure to talk about host, and yes, it's really been a great experience. This is only the second time I've been on a podcast for host, so I'm hoping that I can come on more often in the future to discuss more future plans and host when they become available. So thank you guys.
We'll definitely have you back on, because you're a great guest and it's a great game.
I can almost guarantee we'll see you again very soon, probably close to December time when the expansion's ready, and then further still whenever there's a big announcement you want to announce it. We here at Fantastic Universes will always support a Fantastic Universe. Just to wrap things up, Connor, my good pal, where can our dear listeners find you and your musings out in the great one internet?
Well, of course, as we alluded to earlier, I do writings when my writer's block actually leaves me for the Fantastic Universes blog. I also will be starting up doing Twitch and YouTube for card games such as Legend of Runeterra, Hearthstone, Eternals, other online TCGs, where I will be going through explaining how to start new accounts and then developing into a more of a stable foundation within those games, and how I would navigate starting as a new player going forward. Unfortunately, you can also find me on Twitter. I do not post much, or X, or however you wish to call it. The artist formerly known as Twitter. And you can find me here at Fantastic Universe.
Wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff indeed. As for little old me, you can find me at Twitter or X. We no longer tweet, we excrete, apparently. Thanks for nothing, Elon Musk. You can find me on Twitter at isitsynchro, and pretty much all the other socials on that find. Fantastic Universe is my pride and joy, where I try to give you news and other great content in the wider world of gaming, PC, console, tabletop, and everything in between. Look to my reviews on DC Comics at Dark Knight News and DC Comics News. Look to me at twitch.tv/isitsynchro, where I try to stream online card games as infrequently as I can. And tune in very soon to the Fantastic Universes podcast, where pretty soon it will be Connor and myself talking to our good pal and other host ambassador, Vice and Chill, to talk about the nitty-gritty of the gameplay and the competitive scene for this game. And pretty soon, Connor's going to be flying solo, talking about the underappreciated Bushy Road card game gem known as Vice Schwartz itself. But until next time, we want to thank Jamie for appearing, and to you, dear listeners, live free and play well.